And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Now, the tree of life was there also. And after he ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, death began to work in him. He couldn't eat off. Eating off the tree of life is, it's like reading and studying and receiving the word of God in your heart. That's what it's like to eat off the tree of life. Eating off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is like adultery. It's like receiving something that's not yours. It's stealing. It's sin. The doing this act, in order for you to have sin, you have to have a leaven of hatred to act against God. Anybody that's anywhere that does any form of sin, you have to have a leaven of hatred to eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. To lust after another man's wife. To steal another man's watch. To do somebody wrong. To slander, to backbite. You have to have a leaven of hatred operating in you. And the people that God will rapture, they're the kind of people that will not eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil if they were in Adam's position. Now let's continue forward. The purpose of all this is to show you something that's much greater and give you understanding in what God is doing. A war started before God made man. The war continues, and we're going to expose the darkness for what it is through Christ. Remember, we do all things through Christ. And verse 24. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Okay. Now, we're going to jump around and look at some other scriptures that's very important. See, God is making a statement. He's communicating with all creation. And this is the standard that they're going to be judged by one day. In Isaiah chapter 14, who started this war? And Isaiah gives us insight. Isaiah 14. Chapter 12. Well, let's back up a little bit. Okay, verse 4. I just keep going. Let's start here. And this shall come to pass in that day, this is verse 3, that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve. That thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, How has the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in his anger and persecuted and none hindered. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee. The cedars of Lebanon saying, Since thou art laid down, no feller, no tree cutter has come against us. Now watch verse 9. Hail from beneath is moved for thee hail from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations, and they shall speak and say to thee, art thou also become as weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vows, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. Now watch this. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house, saying, is this the man that did this? Verse 19, but thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword. They go down to the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Now let's look at what Lucifer said. He said, I will ascend into heaven. This is when he turned. See, he's saying, this is his sin. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. In order to say that, he was on a planet. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also in the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. This is a meeting place, just like in Job chapter 1. The sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Lucifer and Satan came also with them. There's a great congregation. I looked up the word great congregation, and that was one of the definitions, where the leading people go to meet. So he will sit also. See, I've heard people said it wrong. They say Satan was the next thing to Jesus Christ. He was up there. No, he was more like Adam, to be honest with you. He was an angel, and he was on earth at one point, because we're going to prove that next. He was here when things got started, before he was a devil, he was an angel. We're made a little lower than the angels. They're made out of precious stones, and we're going to get to that. So he ascended. He said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. God didn't give him that. He's just going to exalt himself there. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. See, there's heights of the clouds beyond the stars that we can't see. And then he said, I will be like the Most High. Now, he had to make five ascensions to be like the Most High. That's not five angels. That's five classes of beings that's greater than he is. Okay. See, when you let the word say what it says, you see it for what it is. I don't believe in adding to it. But he had to make five ascensions to be like God. So, let's look at some more information about Lucifer. See, if you understand your enemy better, you can fight him better. Now, Ezekiel 28. The first 10 verses, The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord. Now, the first 10 verses is talking about the prince of Tyrus, which is the human king of Tyrus. Okay, let's skip on down. I'm not going to go through all that. But verse 11 says, Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. You see that? This is the spiritual king. This is Satan, a spirit, who was also Lucifer at one point. Now watch closely with me. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sun, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. You see that? That was his skin. That was his outer shell. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold, and the workmen of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. He was a beautiful creature, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. This is the description of Lucifer. Thou art the anointed cherub that covers. He had a kingdom, or he had others under him, so to speak. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon my holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities and by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. You see the end of verse 18. I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. I told you it was communication. God has given us a demonstration, just like Ezekiel. He used to cause Ezekiel to do things in the sight of the people. Well, God is talking. He said, I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. After the seventh day. After Christ's reign, there's a part of Revelation said that the enemy will be loosed a little season, attempt whatever he will, and then he'll be cast into the lake of fire, and that'll be the end of all sin. Finally. Jesus ended sin at the cross. He said it's finished. But it'll be fully fulfilled after after Jesus let him out of his hell jail for a while to tempt whatever he will. Okay. And that's when this scripture will be totally fulfilled. Jesus said, All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee, and thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. So, now, years ago, when I first started dialoguing with the Lord, I said, Lord, you had 12 tribes in Israel. One was lost and replaced. Dan, the tribe of Dan is not found in Revelation, but it was replaced with Manasseh. I said, you had 12 disciples. And Judas was replaced with Matthias. So I said, okay, now, but you made 9 planets. That's all I was taught. So I said, how many planets are there? And the Lord spoke to me. I said, 12. I asked him again because I said, maybe that was me. I couldn't tell. See, when the Lord speaks to us, he speaks to us in our spirit. I said, Lord, how many planets did you make? I asked him the same question. He said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I didn't expect him to count them, and I knew it was him. So my daughter, Shana, had a book about the planets, about the solar system. And I was looking at it one day. I saw the sun, then Mercury, Venus, Earth, the third planet, Mars. Then I saw an asteroid ring. And then I read the description about it. It said the biggest piece was the size of a house. And it dawned on me, that used to be a planet. The asteroid belt between Saturn and Mars was once a planet. And I believe that that's where Lucifer was when he made his statement. That planet was destroyed. Now, Isaiah has a scripture that said that Rahab is broken in pieces. And I think Steve Quill said that Rahab means whore. It was broken in pieces. But see, Lucifer had access to Eden. He said, you were in Eden, the garden of God. We just read it. But God planted a garden eastward in Eden and put the man there. Verse 13, Ezekiel 28 said, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. See that? It didn't call it the garden of Eden. It said in Eden, the garden of God. But God planted a garden eastward in Eden, a smaller version of what was. God planted a garden and put the man there. Now, this told Satan, you are replaced. It's just like Saul. He told Saul, he fired Saul, and I'm going to raise up a king that's better than you, a neighbor that's better than you are. And God raised up David. Okay. Here he is, Adam. He's just like David replaced Saul, Adam replaced Lucifer. Lucifer became Satan, a man out of covenant. He became wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Let's look at Luke chapter 10. Satan has no covenant. So the Antichrist has no covenant. We, those who love God, who believed on Jesus and they walk in his love and they do his will, they have covenant. They're not wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They are fruitful, multiplying, they replenish, they subdue, and they have the dominion. And that's just the way it is. Luke 19. See, I love what God is doing. He knows what he's doing. All right. I love Luke 19. I'm scrolling down. Oops, wait a minute. Luke 10. Okay. Yeah, here it is. I'm sorry. Luke 10, 19. But let's start at verse 1. After these things, the Lord appeared of the 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth the laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I will send you forth as lambs among wolves. You see that? We're like lambs among wolves. Carry ye therefore neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. Elder Lewis explained that Jewish people would ask about every member of the family and the conversation would take a long time. He explained that for me. So that's why he said that, greet no man by the way. When they went to hurry, they didn't do that. Verse 5, and into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be unto this house. If the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again. In the same house remain eating and drinking, such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. Now watch this. And into whatsoever city ye enter, if they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come near to you. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, do we wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come near to you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Look at verse 13. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and in Sidon, which have been done in you, they had great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre, Sidon, at the judgment, than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me. This is what I was talking about earlier. He that heareth you heareth me. He that despises you despises me. He that despises me despises him that sent me. See, it can't be untied. If a man come to you in the name of the Lord with a word, it's God sent him, don't disrespect it. Okay, now watch this. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. See, they just wanted to serve God. They loved him. They come back and they found out that the devils are subject to him. Now watch this. Verse 18. And Jesus said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. See, he was there. He saw it. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. All of it. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. This is authority that Jesus gave us. This is authority that he gave me. Satan don't have it anymore. He's without it. He's wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Everything he has and everything he gives is stolen merchandise. Verse 20, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. It's a small thing. It's not a huge thing that you have authority over Satan. He was stripped, and you're equipped in Christ. In that hour, I love verse 21. It says so much to us. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, O Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Just babes, people that just innocently love God and want to serve him and obey him because it's right. They are full of sincerity and they have no leaven. Babes, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Father, who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Powerful. These are babes. They love God for who he is. Innocently. They're like Cornelius. They don't have any guile. No deceit. No witchcraft. No leaven. They're not boasters. They're not proud. No jealousy, no Cain jealousy. All those things, they rejected that. They have the living love of God in them. And all the demonic things, they drive out. And the Lord helps them do whatever they need to do. Now, to babes, that's who God gives. People who will innocently love God, that's who will receive his word and act on it. A lukewarm man will not act on the word of God. A lukewarm man or woman, they won't budge at this point. They're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, and they assess themselves to have increased goods, riches, and need of nothing. That's what a lukewarm person, that's the definition of a lukewarm person, a person that they say that I'm increased with good and riches, and I have need of nothing. They evaluate themselves wrong. But the truth is, they're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, just like their master Satan that they love so much, to the point that they are an enemy against God. And they believe in their heart that God is okay with whatever they do, and they won't repent. Bad business. Now let's look at something. We saw the leader of the rebellion. Let's look at the rebellion now. The satanic rebellion, of course. See, you have rebellions on both sides. People that love God, they rebel against the darkness. And then people that love darkness rebel against the light. And the leader of the darkness is Satan. So let's go back to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 24. I thank God for those who helped me see what I didn't see. Those who were led by the Holy Ghost. And, you know, what I'm about to read, I learned this from Timothy Alberino, bless his heart. I watched the 2019 True Legends conference, and he brought this scripture out. This is Isaiah 24, verse 21. Let's see. Yeah. All right. In that day, this is verse 21, in that day shall come to pass, and it shall come to pass in that day, that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days shall they be visited. The moon shall be confounded, the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and before his ancients great gloriously. See, there it is again. When the sun and moon, this time they're going to be confounded, because I told you their light is not good enough. The glory of God outshines the moon and the sun and the moon. When Jesus is reigning for 1,000 years, we're going to always have the sun and moon. But Jesus is going, it won't be any need for it. The sun and moon will be virtually irrelevant. It'll still be there, but we're going to get our light from King Jesus. I told you the glory of God outshines the sun and moon. That's scripture for everything I said just now. And I'm not bragging. That's just, I'm bragging on the Holy Ghost and the truth of God. Now, see, you see the distinction right there. Leading up to that, I back up. See, the Lord made that distinction for us. All right, verse 16. From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, even glory to the righteous. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. This is Isaiah talking. Fear in the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare, for the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. The earth is utterly broken down, the earth is clean dissolved, the earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. Now watch this, verse 21. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high. It made a distinction, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. So there are people out there on high. He will punish the host of the high ones on high, and the kings of the earth, men, people on the earth. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days shall they be visited. See, and Jesus is going to reign, of course, and the moon and the, you know, verse 23, then the moon and the shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in the mount, in Mount Zion, and in Jerusalem, and before his ancients gloriously. See, God has an order to all things. He's shutting down the war that started before God made Adam. That's why he's going to judge the high ones that are on high and kings of the earth on earth. He made that separation. I'm going to show you another one. God loves us. Let's look at Ephesians chapter.